Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 2nd, 2012.
Like all the times I've known before. Like all the times I've known before. I screamed out loud, I want out. I cut you down, thorns in your crown. Little blood stained town.
You'd stand still, overcome with what I'd done. The words came out of fear, were always there to make you bleed. Only when my world was threatened, overwhelmed, couldn't see the right way out, did I ever feel the need. Why?
That was Bloodstained Town from Isabel Gunn's newest CD, Losing the Ground. The folk trio of Jeremy Zeil, Lara Schott Zeil, and Leanna Zeil, and I probably just butchered those names totally, began singing together in the spring of 2006 and have recorded a debut EP and two full-length CDs in that time. The sister-brother-slash-husband-wife group relies on blended vocals and lyrics that evoke the best in today's storyteller musicians. Jeremy Zeil is on the phone with us from his home in London to talk about Isabel Gunn. Good evening, Jeremy.
Good evening, Robert. How are you doing?
Yeah, and I did butcher your names, right?
Slightly, but everybody does, so no worries.
Okay. Now, when did your particular interest in music start?
Oh, that's right when I was very young. My mother, Leanna and I's mother, is a music teacher and comes from a very musical family. And so we were right in recorder lessons at about the age of four, and I can't say that I loved the recorder, but mm-hmm. I do remember playing in church, even at that age, just accompanying my mom while she led the congregation, and the rest is history.
Well, when you were doing that and growing up in that, who were sort of some of your musical influences around that time?
Well, I would have to, like, in terms of people I knew or music I listened to.
Both.
Okay. My mom, for sure. I mean, there was never a day that went by without her playing piano in the living room. Everybody would be listening to that and putting us to sleep. And her father, actually, my grandfather, or I call him my paca. He was an excellent visual artist, but also a musician, organist, violinist, and he actually gave me my first violin when I was in grade four, and I studied that until I was about 17, and I would say that my mom and my grandfather were probably two of my biggest influences.
Looking at the type of music you were listening to that time, what would you cite as some of your influences then?
Oh. When I was a kid, that's tough to say. I mean, most of the music that I listened to then was just in church. We didn't listen to a lot of the radio. My dad was a big Neil Diamond fan, mm-hmm. I love Neil Diamond for sure. Coming into high school, I'm 30 now, so that would have been the early 90s. So we were into the grunge, sort of Nirvana, Pearl Jam scene, and excuse me. So it was rock probably in high school. I was in a rock band. That was my first band. We recorded a CD, and as I moved on to university, I got into more singer-songwriter, I would say. A guy named Ben Harper, do you know him at all?
I know of him. I haven't heard a lot of his stuff, but I know of the name.
Oh, good. So good. He's a man from, I think it's the western states somewhere, but just incredible acoustic folk musician, beautiful voice. And that really sparked in me a desire to to sing more folk music, songs from the heart, a little less rock. I still listen to him all the time. He's a huge influence.
Are there any other influences? You mentioned the singer songwriter genre. Are there any other people that you listen to on a regular basis?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, and this is just speaking for myself. I mean, it's unfortunate that Leanna and Lara aren't here because both of them are incredible music encyclopedias. For myself, there are guys like Steve Bell, who I've met a couple of times, but I've really enjoyed his music and who he is and his faith perspective. Glenn Soderholm, a friend of mine, Jacob Moon as well. All of those guys are big influences on what we're trying to do as Isabel Gunn as well.
Yeah, and I know all of those guys, and there's some really solid singing. And when I look at the lyrics of Isabel Gunn, I can see that influence in terms of that whole storytelling element coming through.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of those musicians are that. Before we get into that element of it, but let's just give people about a background on how Isabel Gunn itself formed.
Sure. Yeah. This was about 6.5 years ago now. My wife, well, my now wife and I didn't know her at the time, but she was asked to play at a church coffee house, as was I, and this was in London, Ontario. I caught wind that she might be there. I had known of her because she's actually 10 years older than I am, but she was my younger brother's grade 5 school teacher.
Okay.
So I knew who she was, and I knew she could sing, and I thought, you know what, instead of doing something on my own, I asked my sister Leanna to play and sing, and Lara as well. And so we got a couple of songs together, actually a song that is on the latest CD, Losing the Ground, called Everlasting Peace, in a different form, but that particular song was written back then, and we performed that on the first night that we performed together, and the response was pretty electric that evening, and the rest is sort of history. Lara and I met, fell in love, played a bunch of gigs, got married. We have a 3.5-year-old boy now, and we haven't really stopped for about 6 years since then, and have now just taken our first little summer break off starting this past June. So we haven't done any shows in the last couple months.
Now, where does the name Isabel Gunn come from itself?
Isabel Gunn it comes from. I heard the name from a novel, actually, and I actually just read that you're an author, Robert.
Yes.
A novel by Audrey Thomas called Isabel Gunn, which is based on the true story of a woman from Canadian history.
And the story of that woman is that's the fascinating part, is there's actually a history behind that.
Yeah, exactly. So she immigrated from Scotland and disguised herself as a man in order to work for the Hudson's Bay Company in the 18th century, and was later discovered giving birth to a child, and thus her cover was blown, and I believe she was shipped back to Scotland after that. But it's just a little snippet of Canada's history and mm-hmm. of the Hudson's Bay Company's history, and we really like the just aligning ourselves with something out of Canadian history, but also more so just the sound of her name, the Isabel, the prettiness of that, and the gun and the harshness of that, and the sort of juxtaposition or contrast between the prettiness and the ugliness sort of represented what we found that we were doing in our writing as well.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get into that, and we'll talk a little bit about the writing and then how all that fits in. But what we need to do first is take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest Jeremy Zile of Isabel Gunn. I'm your host Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
She's taking down the picture frame, back away to love again, and all her little dreams are in a box. She floats away to yesterday, thought that it made sense, but now it seems that she is younger than she thought. And all the city's sleeping, but Emily is lying awake. A thousand lovers dreaming, one of them has made a mistake. She's running through memory, recognize the lover's dream she's kept inside, it's dancing in her heart. Even if the sky is dark outside, for a lonely poet's wife, there's a song waiting to start. And all the city's sleeping, but Emily is lying awake. A thousand lovers dreaming, one of them has made a mistake.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Emily from Isabel Gunn's self-titled debut EP. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Isabel Gunn's Jeremy Zile. Jeremy, your debut EP quickly got critical acclaim. Emily got an honorable mention from the ISC International Songwriting Competition. Looking at all that, what did it mean so early in your career to get, and so early in the group's career, to get these kind of accolades?
Well, it was great. I mean, it was really an encouragement and an affirmation of what we felt called to do at the time. This was sort of our first attempt at something, I guess you would say, professional. Working with a producer like Douglas Romano from Toronto, he really pushed us into a different level of professionalism, I think, and we worked with some really great musicians, and the songs that we had written, I guess, were really showcased in what they could be, the best that they could be, you know. And so that it meant a lot. I think it's not always easy, excuse me, making a career or attempting to make a career in music. In Canadian music, in independent music, and so that was a real encouragement, just mm-hmm. Probably for years to come, and to say, you know what, okay, this is worthwhile. People are really enjoying this. We need to continue.
Yeah, and that whole aspect of making a career in music is challenging because the way the industry is changing. I mean, I've talked to a number of independent artists over the last. A few months in that, and the biggest challenge is just getting out there and letting people know who you are and where they can find your music.
Exactly. Well, and it's it's changing so much in terms of how we monetize the industry as well, right? I mean, if anybody listens to or if anybody hears of us, I mean, the easiest way to get our music is just to go online and download it, and for the most part people purchase that. Which is great, but it's certainly not enough to sort of support mm-hmm. as it may have used to be. I mean, 20 years ago, if they liked one of our songs, they would be forced to buy the record, and you know that would be around $15 coming our way. as opposed to 30 cents from a 99 cent download, right?
Download, so. Yeah. Well, looking at the whole songwriting aspect of Isabel Gunn, it's really neat because you've got three people involved in the songwriting process. Sometimes it's an individual that's writing the song. Sometimes all three of you are collaborating. How does that whole aspect work when you've got that many creative people trying to put a song together?
Yeah, that's something that we've had to learn over the years. Usually, it works the best when we sort of know what our roles are. Myself, I do most of the initial writing, so I will start with the guitar. I'll write some a skeleton form of the song, and then I'll bring it to the girls, and then they'll I often say just destroy it and pick it apart and make it better. They're excellent wordsmiths, and yeah, so we songs morph as we go. We'll play it in a certain form. We'll bring it to practice. I'll bring it to practice as something, and often by the end of that practice, it's something completely different. It's been a really exciting journey as well, just because each of us take different turns lead vocally,
mm-hmm.
I guess you would say, and so it's liberating as a writer to be able to write from a female perspective as well as a male perspective, right? So that really the sky's the limit in terms of what we can do.
Are there any disagreements? I mean, I know with most writers and that I've run into that there's sort of an ownership of the material, and it's like you want me to change this. Are there any disagreements and times where somebody draws a line in the sand and says, no, I like this particular phrasing, so we're going to keep it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's we run on a democracy, so there's three of us in the group, so one side always wins. So if two of us are in agreement, then that's the way that it goes. But certainly, I mean, in a healthy way, right? We each have our own opinions and our own ways to swing things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't. I think like good disagreement helps the art as well.
Yep.
It helps push us to a deeper level, I think, in terms of the writing. So it's been a good experience for the most part for us.
Yeah. Now, how for yourself as a songwriter, which usually comes first? Is it a lyric? Is it the melody? Is it both? How does it work for you as a songwriter?
You know, for me, I consider myself first a musician, and then a writer. My training has all been in music. That's what I went to school for, and so the lyrics have really always. I mean, I've certainly worked hard at it, and I believe I've gotten a lot better over the years. But they usually come second. So inspiration will come, whether it's reading a book or doing a devotion or, you know, watching a movie or something. And the music will come out first, the guitar part and a vocal part. And usually what I'm doing is crafting in the words later.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so that would be step one. And then, as I said before, bringing it to Leanna and Lara. And Leanna plays piano, and Lara does a lot of percussion. And so we'll sit together, and they will add their music parts. They'll add their harmonies. We'll figure out, you know, if this song works, if the key of the song is right for me to sing, or if it's right for Leanna to sing, or if it's right for Lara to sing, and it goes from there. But definitely, the music for us comes first.
What we need to do is take a final break, and after this final break, we'll come back and finish our conversation with Isabel Gunn's Jeremy Zale. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
In the center. On my shoulders. nights. Slow kiss and a cold lullaby. You're the black star in my eyes. You left to fight for freedom, but the bullet ripped right through your and it took away your life. I dig my hands in deeper, remembering your whisper.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Black Star from Isabel Gunn's Flesh on Steel CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Jeremy Zile. Jeremy, looking at Black Star itself in particular, one of the things you say on your website is Isabel Gunn feels called to raise awareness of social justice issues, and you see that in the lyrics of Black Star and Sarah, which are both on the Flesh on Steel CD. Why do you see this as part of the calling of what the band is supposed to be doing?
Well, I think all of us would say that's just a representation of who we are as people. If I could speak for Leanna and Lara, Leanna is actually able to hold down a full-time job as a social worker here in London at an inner community health center with the homeless population, and so she's seeing situations every day. And that's really where her heart is. Lara is actually the lead vocalist on that last song, Black Star, and actually that song was based slightly in her experience as working as a child life specialist back in Hamilton a number of years ago, dealing with the immigrant population. And so I would say that you know, for all of us, and for Leanna and Lara especially, that being able to sing about things that each of us care about, that's why it's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at a couple of things that have happened, your latest CD is Losing Ground. And that came out this year. What's different about it compared to what you did with the EP and what you did with Flesh on Steel?
There's differences on a couple of different levels. There's certainly a lot of similarities, but I would say musically, what we were hoping to do with Losing the Ground is capture something that was a little bit truer to our live show. We tour around with usually just the three of us. I mean, we do have full band shows when we can get some guys together and when we can afford it, basically, but it's usually just the three of us, so acoustic guitar, piano, and percussion. And so for most of the instrumentation on the latest CD, we tried to stick to mostly that. Mm-hmm. We did it in Vancouver with producer Roy Salmond, and so I think we got one session drummer in for about four songs on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only session player that we had on the whole CD. So the rest is us, as well as the producer, Roy.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference. Secondly, I think, you know, it's thematically Flesh on Steel. In its title alone, there was a real focus on the stories and a lot of the harsh realities of the world. In a sense, Losing the Ground is almost an opposite contrast. There's a lot of songs that are just about love. A lot of it is a spiritual journey for mm-hmm. the three of us. There's a bit more of a peace, I would say, to the whole sentiment of the album. A little bit slower paced. If you listen to it right through, mm-hmm. the pacing of it is a little bit slower than Flesh on Steel. So that those are some differences, certainly.
Looking at our time, and I have to get quickly going. In terms of your faith, you mentioned, you know, sort of the spiritual element, and I know there's some songs in here. I believe in Losing the Ground. I'm trying to quickly flip through here. Into the Jordan. It is the story of Elisha.
That's right. Yeah.
And that how does spirituality fit into what Isabel Gunn is doing?
Hmm. Well, that's I mean that's
in ten words or less.
You know, it's everything that we're about, Robert. I mean, it's who we are. It's what we believe, and we try to sing truth and our faith in God and in Christ is that is the center and the cornerstone of what we do, and you know. What we're trying to do is not necessarily sing the traditional Christian mainstream songs that you will find, but give an authenticity to you know, just human stories as well, within the lens of redemption and in the context of hope.
Great. Well, we're running quickly out of time. Where can people get information about Isabel Gunn and your music?
Absolutely. Isabel Gunn, isabelgunn.com, Facebook/Isabel Gunn. That will lead you to information, photos, upcoming concerts, and ways to purchase our music as well.
Great. Jeremy, thanks for your time tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight. Thank you to my guest, Jeremy Zell from Isabel Gunn. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.